Let's call upon the Lord to illumine our hearts and make what is dark within us, make it light. Our Father in heaven, we call upon you because you are a good God and you are not leaving us in darkness, but you have come to us. And we don't just mean the way that you bring the sunshine into our lives this beautiful sunny day, but Lord, we mean the way you bring your word into our lives. Father, we call upon you. You are good. You're worthy of all praise. Father, as we turn our attention this afternoon, kind of out of the routine of the afternoon services, as we normally go through the Belgic Confession, we turn now to something of your prayer, the prayer that Jesus Christ, our Lord, taught us. And we ask that you would be at work in our hearts by your word, by your Holy Spirit, that you would lead us so that our prayers would be pleasing to you, and that we would pray for the right things in the right way. Heavenly Father, bless us by your word. Open our ears to what you say. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this afternoon we're turning to a scripture reading that's not in your liturgy sheet. It's John chapter 12. So the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We'll read beginning at verse 27. Actually, let's begin John 12, verse 20, and then we'll read till verse 36. So John 12, verse 20 to John 12, verse 36. And this is in connection with hallowed be God's name. John 12, verse 20, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And Jesus Christ is referring to his last hours, also the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross. He's saying, Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. That's how far we're reading from John chapter 12. So the text that I've chosen for this afternoon's sermon that I've brought with me is the Word of God. Many different passages and scriptures in the Bible that has a nice short summary of the Lord's Prayer, the first line of the Lord's Prayer. So it's Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47. Lord's Day 47 has this. What does the first request mean? Hallowed be thy name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. So after the sermon, we're going to pray in response, and then we'll be looking up number 488. Brothers and sisters, loved by Jesus Christ, our Lord, every time we pray, hallowed be your name, we are using this word, hallowed. What does it mean? Well, the catechism will have three other words. It'll have sanctify, glorify, and praise, or it'll have bless, worship, and praise. To hallow is to use it as holy, to set apart for a special use, not normal use. And by teaching us to pray, hallowed be your name, our Lord Jesus is saying, pray that God's name, pray that his reputation and his status, his glory would be lifted up, that he would be exalted. So there's a real need that God's name would be glorified. How many people are excited about who God is? How many people praise him for who he is? How many people actually glorify him? Now, when I'm using that word glorify this afternoon, this is what I mean. It means to give him the stage, to put the spotlight on him. And that's what this first request of the Lord's Prayer is all about. Jesus says, pray that my Father, that our Father in heaven, gets the attention that he deserves. That's the message I'm bringing this afternoon then. Pray that the Father gets the glory and the attention that his name deserves. Now when Jesus says, hallowed be your name, if you follow the details of language, you'll notice that this is a certain voice. Hallowed be your name. This is the passive way of saying things, the passive voice. Jesus has left out precisely who ought to hallow God's name. So to fill it out this afternoon, we're going to have 3 points. Who should give God the glory that he deserves? We're going to have 3 points here. God should. I should. Everyone should. So here's our 3 points. It's a prayer for God to glorify his own name, for you and me to glorify his name, and for everyone to glorify his name. So first of all, we're asking God to glorify his name. Every time you fold your hands and say, hallowed be your name, you're saying, God, do it. How many people then go through life wondering if God even exists, much less hallow his name? How many people go through life wondering if God actually exists? And you know, it's mostly because of sin and darkness and spiritual blindness. The Apostle Paul will have a word for it. He'll say it's a veil over our mind. That's why we don't see his glory. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer then, it's a prayer to God that he would hallow his own name. It's a prayer that's saying, Lord, honestly, I don't know why you let people doubt. Why do you even let your own people in church, Christians, doubt who you are? Father, glorify your name. Now, brothers and sisters, you could have a problem. You might feel uncomfortable with this. Has not God already glorified his name? I mean, you've got the Bible in your hands. There's an awesome declaration of who God is. It's his name, and by the Holy Spirit, you've got the Holy Spirit's recorded his awesome works, his character, how he's holy and just and merciful and gracious and faithful. You've got the Bible, and God has put his name out there. God has said, this is who I am. So it's true, yeah, you're right. God has revealed himself. Think then of how the Catechism summarizes it. What's the first request? Hallowed be your name. That is, help us to really know you. Help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, good, justice, mercy, and truth. And look at that word, that we would truly know you. We should know God accurately. We should know him from the right source, from the scriptures. Yes, you're right. God has revealed himself. Let's know him properly. And so you take this prayer of our Lord Jesus, and it's perfect to pray with just before you open the scriptures. Let's say you do this at mealtime. You read and you pray. Praying the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, just before you open the scriptures makes good sense. You understand the point of hallowed be your name. Grant us, first of all, that I would truly know you. We want your name, your name to get the attention it deserves. Shine forth in the scriptures with your almighty power. Father, I confess that I've read your scriptures a lot of times and these words don't stand out so much anymore. But Lord, shine forth with your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. But there's more to this, brothers and sisters, because we read from John 12. John 12, there our Lord Jesus prayed that God the Father would glorify his name. That's verse 28. John 12, verse 28. Father, glorify your name. That's what Jesus said. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. So back up in time, a couple thousand years ago, when God said that from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And you have at that time, Jesus was making his way toward the cross. He was about to suffer and to die. And God says, I have already glorified my name. And we have to ask, Father, when did you glorify your name? Well, for starters, think about God and the glory that he gets at Christmas. Think of the events when Christ was born. You have the bright star, the stars in the heavens. They gave glory to God and they humbled themselves before the Savior. You have the host of angels crying glory to God. You have the birth of Jesus, the one sent by God. And there's more. When the Father says, I have glorified my name, you have the proof. You have it in the Old Testament scriptures, all the first two-thirds of your Bible. All the times that God has shown forth his power, his almighty power, his wisdom, his mercy and truth, God created. God delivered his people from Egypt. God spoke on the mountain. Read it in the scriptures. God says, I have glorified my name in the scriptures. You can truly know me. But the voice from heaven says more. I will glorify it again. And from these chapters in John, you can tell that God the Father will glorify his name again. This time with Christ on the cross. And this comes out really in the words of verse 32, John 12, verse 32, when Jesus mentions being lifted up from the earth. And the word there for lifting up is the word, it's like glorify, it's the word exalt. And this is the point. God the Father promises, he promised at that time to glorify his name again, and he did it on the cross. In that humiliation of Jesus Christ, when he was nailed to the cross and when the soldiers hoisted him up, for all to see, there the Father glorified his own name. You see, on the cross, God was in the spotlight. That he is just. He is fair. He's righteous. He does not let sin go unpunished. He made the awful debt of sin taken away and paid for. And then you see also on the cross, you see more of God's name. You see his mercy. You see God say, if you look to Christ Jesus, you will be righteous, as if you have always been perfect in his sight. So God's saying, you can find mercy in me. I will glorify my name again, and it's that again glory on the cross. Now that's all recorded in the New Testament scriptures. So we've got the whole Bible where God says, I have glorified my name. But what about again? You know, I have glorified my name and I will do it again. What about again, again? Does the Father promise to glorify his name again? Was the cross the last time? How about the open tomb? How about the ascension of our Lord into heaven? What about Pentecost? So, brothers and sisters, the point of the prayer of our Lord, hallowed be your name, is to say, God, do it again. In our day. Father, glorify your name in our day, like you did throughout the ages. Think of the persecutions in the early church. Do it again like you did by saving people for yourself, even in persecution. Do it like you did at the Great Reformation 500 years ago. Show yourself. Give yourself the attention, not only in your word, but also, as the Catechism makes clear, in all your works, like creation and redemption and providence. In all your works, we want to see you shine forth your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Brothers and sisters, this prayer, hallowed be your name, it has a confession in it. To pray this prayer, you're going to have to admit something. You're saying, Lord, not only do I struggle to see your glory and your majesty when I read your word at the table, I have trouble seeing it sometimes. I just blur through words and I don't notice your glory and your majesty. But I also struggle to see it in the world around me. See, that's the confession we're making when we pray, hallowed be your name. I struggle to see your name when I read the news or see the headlines. I have trouble seeing your wisdom. Doesn't it look like chaos sometimes? I struggle to see your wisdom in my own life even. Your power in my own life. I sometimes wonder about your name, if you are who you say you are. Hallowed be your name. Give yourself the attention you deserve, Father. That's this prayer. Show yourself in undeniable ways around me. Reveal your wisdom. Bless true science. You ever think about that? As you pray, hallowed be your name. Bless science. Reveal yourself in natural events, in awesome power. Reveal yourself also in current events, in the news, the way you humble the proud and you bring the lowly up. Ultimately, glorify your name by returning on the clouds of heaven. That's what we're praying for. So our first point is this. Hallowed be your name means shine forth in your word. And shine forth in your world, in all your works. Let me see your great name. There's more. You know, we could easily go to the second point that we need to glorify God's name, but there's more. Our first point is that the prayer is that God would shine forth out there. But let's add to it. Father, shine forth in here, in me, in us. Saying, hallowed be your name is a prayer that God the Father would do something for his name and his reputation in us, in his church. In us as individuals too. We're asking God to glorify his own name, putting himself in the spotlight by making spiritually dead people alive. It's our prayer. Lord, show off your power. Show off your power to someone who's enslaved to sin, that you make them free. That you make the weak person strong. Lord, glorify your name in me, in my life. Now we're on to our second point. Who should glorify God's name? You heard it, God first, you and me as well. The Catechism says, help us really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you. When we say, hallowed be your name, we're uttering words that go exactly against our own nature. We're going against normal. Father, hallowed be your name. What's normal? Without this prayer, how would you go through your day? Well, we would be blessing, worshiping, and praising ourselves. And I don't mean that in the extreme sense that we're bowing down before ourselves. Just in constant little ways. Worry that people drag your own name and reputation down. Our thoughts, words, and actions are typically for our own benefit. Hallowed be your name. This is how I run it. Honor me. Respect me. Give me the attention I deserve. I usually don't like to draw much attention to pride. But brothers and sisters, there's two kinds of pride, at least I can think of, that draws attention to yourself. Hallow my name is our default language. And it might be the narcissistic kind of pride, the familiar kind for us. Look at me, how great I am. Right? I'm so good at this. I'm such a person. That's one kind of pride. But I want brothers and sisters to notice there's another kind of pride that gets as much attention and hallowing of your own name. Look at me, how miserable I am. Which one's normal for you? Are you the look at me how great I am? Or are you the proud kind of person that says, look at me how miserable I am? Hallow my name because I am hopeless. I need a lot of sympathy. I want you to notice my situation. And then, brothers and sisters, here comes our Lord Jesus Christ to teach us this new prayer. Hallowed be your Father's name. Try that one out this week. Think about it and live it. Direct all our living, whatever we think, say, and do, to put God into the focus. You see, brothers and sisters, this is our second point. There's a stage where you can get all your attention, you have the spotlight, and you want it on yourself. But our Lord Jesus says, that's God's stage. You're meant to be on that stage, but put the attention on God. Put the spotlight on Him. He's the one who deserves it. And this point comes out really clearly in the life of Jesus Christ, that we must glorify God. And He shows us what that means. We read this in John 12. He tells us about the last days and hours of Jesus' life on earth. John 12, 13, 14, and 15, 16, and 17. That Jesus was troubled in soul. And He was distressed. So He says in verse 27, Jesus says, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this very hour, for this very purpose, I have come to this hour. Christ's life was defined by this one purpose. He came to glorify His Father. I want Him to get the attention. I want His name to get the glory, Jesus is saying. It was so clear to Jesus Christ that anything, including His desire to live, must come second place to the glory of God's name. It's so clear in Christ's life that God comes first, that Christ emptied Himself. In the words of Philippians 2, you know these words, taking the form of a servant. That's what He did in order to give the glory to God. So brothers and sisters, who should glorify God's name? It's you and me. Do you take the form of a servant? Do you empty yourself? Do you look to the interests of others? The catechism will say, help us to really know you, to bless. Oh, no, it's this part. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do. I want to capture that word direct for a minute. Direct all our living. How are you directing all your living? The things you think, say, and do. How's that going for you? Because you have the word direct, and I'm reminded of a director or a conductor for an orchestra. And now if you think about how our job is to direct all our thoughts, words, and actions, then think about this place that you have on the stage. You have an orchestra in front of you that you're directing. You're the director, and you have a whole thought section of instruments. All the thoughts, your feelings, your intuition, your attitudes. Are you directing them for God's glory? The thought section of that orchestra in your life. And what about the word section of the orchestra? All your words. The word section, the way that you use all these instruments for getting a message across. You're whispering things. That's the word section. You're texting things. You're typing them. You're saying them. You're singing them. Are you waving? You're the conductor. Are you waving your baton at them, telling them what to do for God's glory? And then there's the action section, the things that you do from the moment you get out of bed to when you get back to sleep. You have so much influence. God has given you that place on the stage, so much influence over your life. You're the director. Your entire body is focused on you. Looking to you for directions, for instructions. And that by nature, you know, brothers and sisters, by nature, you're saying, I like it. Bring it on. It's all about my own attention, my own glory. But then our Lord Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Father should get the attention. All your thought section of the orchestra, the word section, the deeds. Use your baton. It's for your Father's glory. So brothers and sisters, God created you for this. Pray for it. Hallowed be God's name. Not only were you created to have dominion as director over creation and for over creature, all the creatures, but God has created you to direct your whole life too. Don't believe the nonsense that you're just a puppet to your passions. You're not just dancing to your DNA. God has created you with a baton in your hands. Jesus Christ is training you to live for the praise of God's glory. So he teaches you to pray that God's name would be hallowed, that he would be glorified by you and all people. Our third point, all people. So our third point is that everyone is to glorify God's name. That's what hallowed be your name also includes. It means, Father, glorify your name through everyone. And this point can go in two ways, really. In an absolute mathematical sense, there is a way that all people will eventually glorify God. Even God's enemies, even those in hell, will in some way give attention and glory to God, even if they don't feel like it. As the book of Revelation says, all knees will bow, and that includes even unbelievers, those who have pierced him. That's referring then to an unwilling submission. They have no choice when before God's throne they will come undone. They will fall to their knees. There's this glory of God that God will get, even like the glory over Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Remember destroying the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. That was for God's glory. But with our remaining time, brothers and sisters, we need to focus on everyone who will want to glorify God. Everyone who will really want to hallow His name. In John 12, where we were reading, and especially the first part of the reading, it has a hint of what that means. John 12, verse 20, there were some Greeks at the Jewish feast. Outsiders, really. They were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Greeks came to two of the disciples and they said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And then that's when Jesus heard that. He was excited. You don't often hear the Lord Jesus get excited. He's on fire. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." For him, it's the timing light. It's signaling the approaching hour of the cross when the Son of Man will be lifted up. And Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." You hear that? That's the focus here. All God's children throughout the world will be drawn to this cross. It's about the kingdom of God. Even when you pray, "Hallowed be your name," you're saying, "Father, your name is great." And even if there was just one person, like your Son, Jesus Christ, to admit that your name is great, that's okay. But you will have far more. Like at a minimum, the time of King Ahab. You remember King Ahab? At the minimum, in his day, there were 7,000 who would not bow the knee to Baal. So you're praying, may you get the attention you deserve. You deserve even greater than that. All over, throughout this world, every nation and language, every tribe would stand in awe of your word and your works. Brothers and sisters, let's keep this home, keep this close to home, and keep it practical. The Catechism does that. It makes it helpful here. Grant us so that we may direct all our living, what we say and think and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. You hear, on the negative side, the way that we live selfishly and sinfully is called blaspheming God's name. We might be gathered, for example, gathered in church right now, praising God for His almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. But what kind of message do we leave? What message do we send when we leave here? Brothers and sisters, how you leave, what you do after you leave, what you think, say, and do. Where's the hallowed be God's name after this? So here's the positive reminder. Besides not blaspheming God's name, our Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to hallow it. And our Lord Jesus Christ sets up an audience around us throughout this week. And brothers and sisters, hopefully you have your eye open for the audience that Christ sends you at home, at work, and at school. People see you. That's the idea. And our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray this week. Hallowed be your name. God's name should be in the spotlight. He should get the attention that He deserves, starting with me. I should give Him that attention. He should get the attention He deserves from all my thoughts, words, and actions. People should know of God. They should know His mighty works. They should be able to see from me something of Him shining with all His almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. So do people pick up on the name of God? Do all people that meet you pick up on the name of God from getting to know you? You see, that's the point. That everyone would glorify God. They need to see it in each one of us. That we are glorifying God and that His name does shine forth in our lives. Hallowed be your name. You know, it's a really simple one-line prayer. God, lift up your name. We're praying, God, broadcast who you are. And hallowed be your name means, God, work in me strengthen me to broadcast your name. And Lord, may people everywhere be in awe of your name, who you are, so that everyone, everywhere, people would praise and glorify you as you deserve. Amen. Let's humble ourselves in prayer. Gracious God, Almighty God, hallowed be your name. We could describe you in so many ways using the scriptures. Father, most of all, we pray that we would know you rightly, truly, and we would shine forth the name that you have shone upon us. Bless us by the word that we've heard this afternoon. We pray that you would get the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.